Amen. Well, it's great to be here at Steadfast Baptist Church, and had a great time at the Mighty Men's Conference, and I got to know some of you a little bit better, and I'm very thankful to be here to preach today. I really appreciate all the hospitality, and of course, I love my son-in-law, Dylan, and Jasmine, my daughter, and the grandkids, and there's a lot of people that I just know here from going to conferences and things like that. I also want to thank Pastor Shelley for giving me the opportunity to preach here to this great church. And you should realize that you do have a great church. I mean, I hope you're thankful for the great church that you have. And this morning we're going to be focusing in on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, where the Bible reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The title of my sermon this morning is How Predators Operate. How Predators Operate. And in this verse, you can see that the devil is painted as one of the apex predators in this world, a lion. They have no equal in the jungle. They're the king of the jungle. And sometimes lions are pictured as kings, but in this instance, the devil himself is pictured as a roaring lion. And you know what he's doing? He's seeking someone to devour. That means to eat. He wants to eat you. And he's, who's he want to eat? He wants to eat everybody, but mainly he wants to have every Christian in this room as a snack, for his disposal. Because devour means to eat. That's what predators do. They go about seeking to eat other animals and other human beings, right? And the devil is our greatest adversary. He hates us. He wants us dead and in hell where he's going to go. And he wants to take as many people as he can with him. He's a violent predator. The Bible says that he is a liar from the beginning. He was also a murderer, the Bible says. And he wants to eat us up. He is the actual apex predator of the earth. He is the, you know, and I'll give you that definition here in just a minute. But a predator is an animal that lives mostly by killing and eating other animals. And also they eat humans. I mean, some animals will stalk humans to kill them and eat them. And an apex predator is basically just means they're at the top of the food chain. So as far as our enemies go, predators out there that want to harm us, the devil is pictured as this roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He says, be sober, be vigilant, you know, be paying attention to what's going on around you, because, you know, if you're out just walking in the jungle in Africa somewhere, don't you think that you'd be kind of having your head on a swivel a little bit, just like looking around, like, you know, there's a lot of things in Africa that can kill you, and you're out in the bush, you know, and they hide. They lie in wait, and they jump out and kill their prey. They have all manner of ways that they operate. There's different types of predators in this world. There's different ways that they operate, and so that's kind of what I want to talk about. And basically, I believe that it's a picture for us to see what we're going to have to go through in our lives as Christians. Have you ever noticed, if you've ever watched those nature shows like on Discovery Channel or whatever it is, these specials where they're talking about these different types of animals that hunt people, or, I mean, hunt other animals. You ever notice like the ones that are the ones that they go after are always like really scared? They're always like walking around. They go in packs so that they can, you know, escape or like maybe even look bigger to the predators, but they're looking for specific types of animals that definitely can't fight back against them. And that's how predators operate. And you know, you ever seen the video where the deer, I think it's a deer, is just like going down towards the water. It's like being really, you know, it's looking around, you know, like gets down to the water, and then it's like right about to get, like it takes like one lick of the water, and this big crocodile just comes out and just gets it and pulls it into the water and kills it. That's how predators operate. He couldn't see it. It was camouflaged underneath the water, but they instinctively know to look out for these things. And as Christians, we need to understand that we live in a world where there's many predators that are out to get us. I mean, I kind of walked past some of them on the way into the building today, and there are definitely predators out there. So I'll talk about that more in a little bit, but why are the predator animals in the world today? Why is that? Well, we live in a world that's fallen in sin. But I do believe also that God put them there, like I said, for a picture for us. And they are the predators. we are the prey when it comes to Christians. There's always going to be people that are trying to prey on us in one way, shape, or form. Turn to Psalm chapter 14, verse 4. Psalm chapter 14, verse 4. And the Bible compares our enemies a lot of times that are coming after us or in the scriptures about different, you know, like David. And they're always comparing these evil people to predators. They're comparing them to predator-type animals. Psalm chapter 14, verse 4 says, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?" So, you know, it even says here, these workers of iniquity. These workers of iniquity, of course, are reprobates. Every single time that it mentions the workers of iniquity, these people are evil people that are going to hell someday. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. And the Bible, I mean, obviously, I could have exhausted many scriptures. I'm gonna go through many of them, but not all of them, all right? But Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." So we are the sheep. And sheep, in case you ever noticed, they're not exactly the most defensive animal in the world. They don't have claws. They don't have sharp teeth that they can bite back with. They can't fly away. They're pretty weak animals when it comes to being able to defend themselves. But like Jesus was the Lamb of God, pictured as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, the Bible says. So he is pictured as a sheep, but then later on in Scripture, he's also pictured as a lion. Because when he comes back, he's still going to be the Lamb of God, amen? But he's also going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he's going to turn the tables on this world system that we live in. He's going to turn the tables against the predators someday. He's going to turn the tables against the nations and the wicked people and the rulers of this world and the people like those people outside. He's going to turn the tables and he's going to become the apex predator. And you might say, well, you're calling him a predator. Well, I mean, it pictures him as a lion, right? What do lions do? They eat things, don't they? So, and I'll show you that at the end of the scripture, at the end of the sermon. But look at Luke chapter 22 now. Luke chapter number 22. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the devil being our main enemy in this world, he does have an army that's underneath him, though. See, people think that, you know, I mean, if people think that the devil's unorganized, they're very wrong about that. He's the general of the armies, and underneath him is legions of demons or devils, as the Bible calls them, that are at his disposal. And then he also has his own children that are, you know, spiritually his children, the children of Belial, the children of Baal. Baal is the devil. But look what it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." That doesn't sound very nice, does it? Satan wanted to kill Peter. But look at what it says. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So Jesus Christ is praying for us also. He prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for us that we wouldn't be taken out of, you know, that we wouldn't be taken out of the world. But, you know, because we're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be in the world in order to reach the lost. You can't reach people in a compound underneath ground, hiding from all the predators. So we have to just learn to navigate this world that we live in, because the people are in the cities. The people are, you know, which we're supposed to be reaching are in these cities. And so we have to understand it's kind of like being in some safari land or some, you know, place in South America or where all these different types of predators are. And we have to navigate around these people. And we got to be warned about them. Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat. And it's basically making big things. Sifting is making, you know, taking the clumps or the rocks out of something, or, you know, like the big pieces of wheat. You know, it's putting it through and making it smaller. It's taking big things and making them littler, right? More little. So Satan wanted to take Peter and put him through the grinder, basically. So, you know, and the ultimate goal of the predatory animal, again, was what? To devour or eat of animals and humans to kill them. Now, again, lions are mentioned multiple times in the Bible. And again, definitely a predatory animal. The devil is compared to a lion in the focus verse we have, but he's also, what did he come as first? He came as what? A serpent, didn't he? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. So he appeared. Now, obviously, there was nothing killing and eating each other at this time, but how did Satan appear? What animal did he pick to go to deceive Eve with? Well, it says in Genesis 3, 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." So the serpent, this serpent, and serpents can mean dragons. These serpents, you know, they're called flying, fiery serpents in some scriptures. So a serpent is not necessarily only a snake. It could be, you know, a dragon. You know, the Bible talks about dragons multiple times in the scriptures. And it says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So what does Satan appear as? The apex predator, this serpent, or the dragon. Okay, he's known as a dragon, and serpent and dragons are kind of used interchangeably in the Bible. So the first people God made was approached by what is later to be, you know, an apex predator, right? After the fall of man, after the flood, I believe, is when the animals started to be, you know, they had the fear of man upon them. They're afraid, what, that we're going to eat them, right? We're going to capture them and eat them. So turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and we'll see some real clear scriptures where it basically pictures the devil as a dragon. You know, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but he also is known as the dragon in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12, 3 says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." So what do dragons do? What's a characteristic of something the dragon does? Well, they devour, don't they? And most people know that dragons or lizards or reptile animals, they grab things and they swallow them whole, don't they? And so the devil is pictured as a dragon because he is seeking whom he may devour. And he tried to devour the Lord Jesus Christ when he was born. And he went and used Herod to go and murder a bunch of children that were under the age of 2 in order to try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And he escaped out of his hands. The Lord God would not allow Jesus Christ, the Father would not allow Jesus Christ to be devoured by this dragon. So it tells me that the devil knew the prophecies of Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that. And so he had a plan that when he appears, he was going to have a plot hatched in order to destroy him. And the Bible uses this imagery of a predator trying to devour a baby. And what's more innocent than a baby? He couldn't. What do predators like to do? They like to grab the weakest things that they can. They will grab small children. They will grab people that are halt or lame or can't get away. And in the animal kingdom, you see that. Like, these animals will circle around, you know, and try to, who do they go after? They spot the weak one, and they go after that weak one, don't they? And that's the one that they usually try to take down, because they don't want to take down the toughest one of the herd. They want to take down the one that they can catch, the one that they can kill and gang up on. And, you know, they do that in church life too, don't they? They try to, these predators that creep into churches and try to take people out. When they're discovered, they want to, you know, text everybody in the church and tell them, you know, who's coming with me and all this kind of stuff. And they want to just spit lies and just try to get people to come out. They try to grab the weak Christian that's in the group. Now, you're like, well, it's not right for you to call Christians weak. Well, there are some weak Christians. I mean, there was Lot. Lot was a weak Christian. You know, and he was saved. You know, so saved people could be dragged out by these predators. So we got to be, you know, what should that tell you? Don't be the weak Christian. Be the strong Christian. Be the one that reads his Bible. Be the one that prays every day. Be the one that, you know, goes soul winning every week. Be the one that comes to church and is three to thrive. Because, you know, you don't want to be weakened. You know, I didn't get a chance to hear the sermon, but Brandon preached a sermon about how the devil weakens the nations. And it's true. And you know how he does that? He accomplishes it through many different ways. But he wants to weaken you as a Christian. And how does he do that? Well, give you something that you feel is more important to do than to come to church. And it's funny because people that don't go to church at all, like everybody here, like I'm preaching to the choir right now, but people that don't go to church, they always have a reason or an excuse why they couldn't make it. But then I guarantee you that they went to work, or they got food that day, or, you know, took their kids to the park, whatever it is, they always have time and chance to do all these other things in their lives, but they just can't seem to make church a priority. And you know what that does? It weakens you as a Christian. You need to be here three times a week so that you can get the Word of God preached to you, the Bible. God put a man over this congregation so that he could edify you, so he could teach you, so he could warn you about the things of the pitfalls to not fall into. And, you know, you got to be here so you can listen to it. It's not the same as doing online church. Now, I realize that people probably in here drive from long distances. I'm not sure exactly how long you drive from. But, you know, you should make an effort to be here three times a week. We're in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. That was a commercial break. It says, 12. Let's look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And the great dragon was cast out. Now, it's going to tell us who this dragon is. That old serpent. So see how it's used interchangeable? He's the dragon. He's that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So when he's finally cast out and not able to go before God in heaven anymore, he's going to come down to this earth having great wrath. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take it out on us. He's going to take it out on the Christians. And it says in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. The woman that brought forth the man-child. Skip to verse 17. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because remember, the seed of a woman is what brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ, not the seed of a man. His father was God. But it says the remnant of her seed, this woman, is the woman that brought forth Jesus. And Jesus brings forth us through his blood, through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, through his death and resurrection, he brings us forth, and we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So it says that he is going to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now look at verse Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. So it's like just using this term, the dragon, the dragon, the dragon. And you know, people, like, I got this little, Liam drew me a picture this morning. It says, Pastor Aaron Thompson. And you see what it's probably hard to see right here, but to me it looks like a T-Rex. Is that what it is? Where's Liam at? He's embarrassed. All right, he's shy. But anyway, is that a dinosaur right there? Okay. So dinosaurs are real. The devil didn't hide them there to trick Christians. They're actually large lizards that lived during the time. They were made at the same time Adam and Eve was. Thank you, Liam, for this picture. It's very nice of you. But it's pretty cool because it kind of, you know, what do people say about dinosaurs? They say that the T-Rex was the apex predator of his time or whatever. Or, you know, obviously we read about Leviathan. Leviathan is a fire-breathing dragon that flies in the Bible. Okay, Job talks about him. But so we would say, what, that is the apex predator you know, in the, you know, we don't see dragons anymore. I mean, I saw one this weekend, but it was like this big. So it didn't have 900 years to get, you know, 100 meters tall or whatever. So, I mean, why is it picturing him like this? Because the dragon probably is the apex predator that God has made. Leviathan is talked about as something that people can't even come close to trying to kill. And but God made that dragon. And it says in the end of that chapter, it says he's the king of all the children of pride. And that'll preach, right? The children of pride right out there, right out the window there, they are the children of the devil, aren't they? Because that picture of Leviathan is picturing the devil. So look what it says in Revelation 13:2. It says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So see, this end times beast, this nation here, is drawing from what? Different types of predators, isn't it? And, you know, the leopard is a very formidable beast and predator. And a bear, it definitely is. And then the lion. And then on the top of it is the dragon. You see that? So, I mean, it just makes me think, well, if the devil's our biggest, baddest enemy, you know, obviously he can be pictured as different things, but the dragon is the main thing that we know him as. The dragon of Revelation. So it says in verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now skip down to verse 11. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon." So this false, that's the false prophet, right? So the false prophet comes looking like a lamb, but he's actually speaks like a dragon. He's speaking wickedness. And, you know, the whole world is going to wonder after the beast, saying, who's able to make war with him? He's going to be the biggest, baddest dude on the block, right? And it says, "And they worship the dragon." So they're not only worshiping the beast, his image, they're giving heed to a false prophet, but then they're also worshiping the devil himself. And isn't that what the devil wants? He wants people to worship him. That's what he's always wanted. He's always wanted to take God's job, but his job's just not available. So he's never going to be able to take his job. But you know what? He sure is trying, isn't he? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 34. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 34. The Bible says, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon, and hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out." So here you have men also being compared to dragons. Nebuchadnezzar being compared to a dragon. You also have Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his kingdom being like the dragons that are in the rivers of Egypt. So human beings are compared to these different predators. The beast system, every single beast that's represented in the end times government is compared to some kind of apex predator. And what do they want to do? They want to swallow us up and fill their belly with our delicates. That kind of sounds creepy, doesn't it? "He hath cast me out." So how do these predators operate? Well, I just kind of came up with a small list, and it's probably not all-inclusive. Someone's probably going to come up at the end of the sermon and go, "Well, Pastor, they also do this." It's like, you're right. But it's okay for you to do that. I would like to know what I missed here. But how do they operate? Well, they lie in wait, don't they? They lie in wait, and many animals do this. Snakes do this. They'll lie someplace and wait for something to come by, and then they'll just snatch it, venomize it, and then swallow it whole. If they don't have venom, they'll bite it with their teeth, curl it up, strangle it to death, and then swallow it, right? You're getting a little bit of a science lesson here today too, homeschoolers. But that's how they operate, right? So when they lie in wait, in lions, they'll hide in tall grass, and they blend in, because what color are they? They're like yellow, right? The same color as the grass that's around them. They'll lie in wait. And then when they see what they want, they'll just come out and kill it. So also you have frogs. Now you think frogs are predators? They kind of are. Have you ever had a Pac-Man frog? Have anybody ever seen a Pac-Man frog? They'll bite your finger if you put it in front of them. They eat mice. That if you know, most people that get the Pac-Man frogs, they feed them those little baby mice that you get at the pet store. I don't know if you're allowed to do that anymore because of PETA or whatever, but I'm sure people still, you know, do that. But frogs, they're also opportunistic. They lie in wait. And when something goes past them, like even a fly or some kind of insect, they stick their tongue out and snatch that thing with their tongue and then swallow it, right? So all these predators have these, you know, different types of ways that they do things. Spiders, they make traps, don't they? They make these webs that the other insects or whatever it is that flies into their web gets caught in it. And as soon as it starts to struggle, that's like, you know, it has all these webs set up so that it can, you know, get down to it, and, you know, venomate it, and then, you know, wrap it up like a little cocoon. Who's ever seen a spider, like, trap something and wrap it up? And then later on, they just eat it at their leisure, you know. And a lot of predators, they'll bite something or attack something and then eat them while they're still alive. And that's gruesome, isn't it? But that's what human predators like to do too. They like to torture people. They like to trap them. They lie in wait for them, and then they like to just kind of keep coming back and doing damage to them. And you know, cats. Who has cats in here? So cats are like just mini, you know, predator. They're just smaller predators, right? You know, even a cat that you feed every single day, you got the litter box in there, they're still going to go out. If they go outside, they're going to bring you back some trophies. And like sometimes they'll be still living, right, when they bring them back. And they'll just like, you know, pat at them and stuff. So they like to play around with their victims. It's pretty, I mean, we think it's funny or whatever, and it kind of is sometimes, but especially if it's a mouse or a rat, because they're vermin, right? But that's the type of things that predators like to do. They like to hurt and toy with things. They set traps. They utilize their camouflage and pretend to be something that they're not, don't they? They try to pretend to be something they're not, like wolves in sheep's clothing. They're really a wolf, but when they come in, they dress like you. They talk like you. They might even give the gospel correctly even. But eventually, you know, an ear flops out, the tail wags, and you're like, oh, whoa. And you'll see these red flags in these people. But you know, us being Christians, if it's not something super major, we're usually just like, well, they're probably just still learning or whatever. And that's how they take advantage of us. They mimic what we do. They mimic how we talk. But eventually, the truth about them is going to come out, and it could take years. It could take a long time, and they like to infect everybody with their poisonous doctrine, and they like to lie in wait, pretend to be something they're not, and they want to lull you to sleep through their subtlety, right? Like, I mean, you think about the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Who knows the story of Little Red Riding Hood? I don't even know if I can remember the whole story, but what I do remember about that story, because it's been a long time since I read it, is that basically, at the end, the wolf dresses up like her grandma, who she's already eaten, right? Or the wolf's already eaten the grandma, I think. And then puts her glasses on and her nightgown or whatever. And Little Red Riding Hood comes in. And she's like, you know, what big ears you have, grandma? And then, you know, she like goes to this list of what big eyes, grandma, you have. And what big teeth you have, grandma. And then like the wolf is like saying, all the better to eat you or whatever. So they want to pretend to be something that they're not so that they can inflict maximum damage on us. There's a fish called the anglerfish. And these fish live deep into the sea, but they have this little fin that kind of sticks out over the top of their head, and it glows, a translucent glow. And what it does is it attracts other fish to come by and be like, oh, what's this? You know, and then as soon as they get close to it, then the anglerfish, I mean, it's got big, sharp teeth. It's really freaky looking, all right? You definitely wouldn't want that to nibble on your toes when you're out in the lake, right? So But anyway, what's it doing? It's setting a trap for unsuspecting victims, and then when those victims get close to it, then they spring the trap on them. This is how predators operate. This is what they do. Now, some predators will overpower you through their size and might, right? So bears are definitely an apex predator, and you get it, the further up north you get, the bigger they get, because they obviously have lots of good things to eat up there, apparently. But, you know, polar bears get really huge, Kodiak and grizzly bears get really huge, and they will hunt humans down, they will kill them. Polar bears can track things for like hundreds of miles, and they'll track humans. Who's ever seen the video where the polar bear is like this guy makes like this big glass dome that's reinforced, and the polar bear is just doing everything it can to get in there and kill him, because it doesn't want to give him a hug. It wants to eat him like a tasty snack, right? So, but polar bears, they don't operate necessarily in stealth. They're just so big and so fast that they just overpower, you know, whatever it is that they're hunting for and kill them, because they're the most powerful thing around. And, you know, people do this, you know, because they'll have an advantage. Like, I mean, you guys have had people that have come against you, and even though you're right, they still use their advantage as this powerful person to negate what the real law is teaching and allow you guys to be kicked out of that building that you were in before, even though it was proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that what they were doing was wrong. And so the judges that sit in these courts, the district attorneys that are over, you know, places like this, where they'll just, like, in multiple places all around, district attorneys will say, we're not going to press charges against this certain group. And then they'll attack other groups. Yep. So it's okay to be, you know, Antifa and go and spray paint buildings and throw fire Molotov cocktails at police officers and all these different types of things, and nothing happens to them. Why? Because they have the biggest, most powerful beast in control of what happens when a police officer arrests them, or, you know, when they're facing criminal charges. And, you know, there's just all types of predators out there, animals and humans, and they all have their part to play to come. And what do they want to do? They want to destroy not only humanity, but they want to destroy Christianity. They really hate Christians. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 34. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 34. And obviously, David pictures Jesus Christ in a lot of different ways. But I was just thinking about this specific chapter, and it's obviously a huge chapter. I'm only going to show you a few verses here. But David goes to the camp to give his brothers some food, and Goliath the Philistine's like the biggest, baddest dude, right? He's scary. He's a man of war from his youth, and he is challenging anybody to come fight me. Come at me, bro. But what else is he doing? He's cursing them by his gods, which is not the God of the Bible, obviously. And, you know, he's so scary that nobody wants to fight him. Saul, who's probably a similar size to me, he's head and shoulders above everybody else, is afraid to fight him. But David, he's like, you know, a small, ruddy, you know, well-complected kid. But he's not just that. Appearances can be deceiving, folks. And David was a tough young man at this point. Look what it says in verse 34. It says, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." So these two particular animals are apex predators, okay? David, and look what David says, "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me," so, you know, he got the sheep out of his mouth, and then it arose against him. It tried to get him. And it says, "I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Not many people can say that they've, you know, taken, you know, a bear by the beard or a lion by the beard and smote them before. You know, Samson, like, ripped one in half or whatever. But You know, this is a picture of how, I believe it's a picture of how, you know, these predators come at us. And, you know, David pictures Christ here, and he pictures that he's over the flock, right? Because Jesus is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd among the, and so David goes, even after one has been taken away, and he goes and tracks that thing down, takes that lamb out of his mouth, and kills it. He kills the predator. And you notice that these two animals are mentioned in Revelation chapter 3, where it's talking about this all these different beasts, and then the dragon that gives him power. So, you know, it kind of picture, like in my mind, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but in my mind, Goliath pictures the ultimate apex predator at the end of this list. So he's like, I've already killed a lion, I killed a bear, you know, I'm prepared to do this thing. And then when he gets in front of Goliath, what's he do? He throws one single rock. He slings one single rock and hits him square right between the eyes and drops him dead. In the end times, you're going to, you know, this statue, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is this statue that he's the head of gold of or whatever, but it represents the, you know, these major world powers and up until the very end, even the ten-toed kingdom, and Christ is going to be the rock that comes and smashes that image in pieces, and then we'll forever be under the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he takes out, you know, because I mean, Goliath's a man, right? But obviously he represents the biggest, baddest guy on the planet. The Antichrist is going to be the, maybe not the biggest, but he's going to be the baddest man on the planet. Didn't it say, you know, who is able to make war with him? Isn't that what Goliath said? Who's able to make war with me? He does. And so we know what happens, though, that the rock, you know, is thrown by the slaying of David, who represents Christ. That rock smashes, you know, I mean, he smashes it right through the skull of Goliath. And then, you know, just to make sure he's dead, takes his own sword out and chops his head off with it and carries it around with him for the rest of the day. He's like, yep, I'm the man, you know. And you know, how big do you think that head was? I mean, who bowls in here? I mean, some bowling balls are pretty, can get big and get really heavy, but I'm sure that his head was heavy. It talks about all of his different armor and like how big he was and how big the armor it was. I'm sure he had a big head. And David's just like carrying it around like a bowling ball for the rest of the day. And he's like, here you go, Saul. You know? So, but I think that's a cool picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take out these big apex predators also, and then in the end, he's going to destroy it when he comes back and destroys the beast and the false prophet, and the devil throws him into hell. So, look at verse 36, just finish a couple more verses here in 1 Samuel 17. It says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He's like, I didn't have to fight him, you know. And then, you know, he tries to try his armor. He doesn't even have armor on. You know, Goliath has a shield, someone that's bearing his shield for him, and David just goes out and just smokes this guy. So even though predators are scary, you know, God is all, if God's on our side, then we don't really have anything to worry about. Yep. They can huff and puff and blow the house down. They can, you know, act all scary. But, you know, by faith, we get the victory. Amen. You know, obviously, we're not going out and slaying literal giants, but there's a lot of giants that come against us, aren't there? And they are, in the Bible, they're always shown as bad people. They're always having to go and kill the remnant of the giants and all this stuff. So what else do predators do? Well, they stalk their prey, looking for the weakest to take out. They circle you and stalk your steps. Now, we also see this in, you know, you got some stalkers out there. The stalkerazzi. They're all stalking out there, just waiting to yell something bad at one of your kids. They're waiting to yell some filthy thing in your ears. And you know what they want to do? They want to pull the weak ones out and make them quit. Don't be weak. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Don't worry about what these filthy sodomite fags are doing. Just keep on keeping on at Steadfast Baptist Church. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know what? Your work is not in vain. Look at Psalm chapter 17, verse number 8. Psalm chapter 17, verse number 8. So predators also stalk and they circle around people. Now, specifically dogs. Now, obviously, we have dogs that are domesticated, but they still have the tendency to do things that dogs do, like bite, fight other dogs, hurt other dogs. I mean, pit bulls are pretty apex when it comes to the dog family. You know, they're like they're the reprobate dogs, right? They want to just kill. Don't send me an email. Don't send me a text. Don't talk to me about how your pit bull's the one of a kind, the exception to the rule. I'm sure there are pit bulls that are exceptions to the rule. But most of them, if you let them out, they'll kill things. My dad had a pit bull dog, and it was a cool dog, and it never bit me or anything like that or bit any kids at all. But any time that it got let loose, it went and killed anything that it could find. It gutted more cats than I can count. And if she escaped, she was just gone, and my dad would have to go chase the dog down and find it. And like usually he's like, "You killed my cat." It's like, "Sorry, come on, Blondie, let's go. His name was Blondie. But anyway, it also, like, I watched it like break forth and attack a snake. It like went right to this big snake, and it wasn't poisonous or anything, but like she just like put her paws on it and just ripped it to shreds. It's pretty gross, but it's pretty cool too at the same time. Because I don't like snakes either. So, but anyway, you're in Psalm chapter 17, verse number 8. So, you know, there's many different animals that will stalk, they will circle around and try to find weaknesses in flocks or in one animal by itself or whatever. Psalm 17:8 says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who," what's it say? "Compass me about." And you'll notice that this is a theme in the Bible, that the predators like to encompass people about, right? And so this is David speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's like, you know, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." He's counting on God to protect him. And it says, from the wicked that oppress me, my deadly enemies. So we have a lot of deadly enemies out there today. And you know, there are more than we can count. You all have more enemies than you realize, probably. But there's a lot of ones that you have realized, right? And they want to take this church down. They want to stop this church from going forth and preaching the gospel and baptizing people and teaching people the word of God. The message of truth that's coming out of this church, they want to shut that up. And they want to do that to any church that is actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you know, when there's very few of us standing up, then it makes it easier for all the predators to kind of encompass about us and try to, you know, it's easier to attack a smaller amount of group. If all the independent Baptists in this country, out of the 6,000 churches that are Baptist churches in this country, all stood up against the sodomites tomorrow, this battle would be over. But they're afraid. They're scared. They're, instead of hiding under the shadow of God's wing, they're hiding in the shadow of their church building. They're hiding in the shadow of not preaching it from the housetops. They're hiding under the shadow of their wife. They're afraid. They're afraid to take on the enemy, and they'll say, "No, you guys are just being mean. That's what it is." No, the Bible's true, folks. The Bible says what it says. So just remember that when the Bible's being preached, you know whether it's true or not, what's being preached here. Don't let these predators try to tell you what the Bible says. They're not even saved. How do they know what the Bible says? How do they know, you know, "My Jesus doesn't do this"? Your Jesus is a figment of your imagination, freak. Their Jesus doesn't exist. It's another Jesus, another gospel. Because the gospel that I preach, those freaks don't get saved from it, ever. And that's why I don't preach them the gospel anymore. But anyway, let's look down at verse 11. It says, they have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey and is, and as it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. Isn't that a stalker?
Yeah.
Isn't that, you know, just anonymous trolls? Isn't that these people that are stalking us in secret and trying to, like, just, you know, just lie and just drop comments and all these other weird things that they like to do? But sometimes, you know, they're just stalking, as in they're just encompassing you about. Like, you literally have predators outside of this church building, you know, compassing you about. Now, it's not as big of a crowd today, I guess, as it normally is, so they only have, like, part of it blocked off or whatever, but they're still trying to compass the people of God about. I mean, isn't the Bible just true over and over? David had many stalkers. He had people that were greedy of prey, these young lions lurking in secret places. He says, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. So David had stalkers. He writes about it over and over again. I can't even go to all the Psalms that he talks about it. But just know this, that there's always going to be predators trying to come. They're always going to try to be defiling your children's minds with their stupid posters and the things that they say. But, you know, just if you have to, just cover their ears when they're walking in. You know, these predators aren't going to win. Turn to Judges chapter, actually turn to Psalm chapter 22. I'm going to read Judges 16:2. And it says that it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in and lied wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. So, see, even Samson had stalkers that were just lying outside in wait of the city. They thought they were going to kill him. But, you know, when he picks the gate up and walks around with it and whatever. Every time they tried to kill Samson when he was in his strength, they could not do it. And so, what did they want to do? They wanted to kill him, didn't they? Psalm 22, verse 11 says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. And see, these predators aren't weak. They're not always weak. Sometimes they are strong. Sometimes they're stronger than we are. Sometimes they're physically stronger. Sometimes, the devil has given them some sort of power. But of course, this is a prophetic chapter talking about how all the people that turned against Jesus Christ on the day that he died. It says in verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. See how it just keeps over and over again talking about these predators. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Jesus, at his crucifixion, his disciples had forsaken him. And what's surrounding him as he dies? A bunch of filthy reprobates and predators. He says, my strength is dried up like a pot. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. See, dogs are not usually looked upon favorably in Scripture. And as a matter of fact, it's a synonym for sodomites. So, but it says dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked. It's comparing these children of Belial to dogs, right? To a predator animal. It says, on my tell all my bones, verse 17, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. They're gambling for his clothes. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. So the power of the dog is kind of a power that's trying to encompass this church roundabout also, isn't it? The power of the dog. And you know what? The Lord will deliver you from the power of the dog. They're going to stop. Something's going to happen. They're going to stop. I'm not saying I'm going to do anything or anybody else here. I'm just saying that God's going to stop them. God's going to shut their mouths. And you know what? Even if he never does, They still have hell to look forward to.
Right.
So the worst predator besides Satan is man, because that's what keeps getting compared to these wicked type their animals aren't necessarily wicked in themselves, but I mean they do things that wicked people do, and that is considered wicked. They don't have souls, folks. The animals don't have souls. They don't go to heaven or hell. I'm not going to say it. I was going to say all dogs go somewhere, but they go down to the back to the earth, okay? So, but the worst kinds of predators that the devil has in his army are mankind, right? Turn to Genesis chapter 19, verse number 4. And what's worse than a fag? What's worse than a queer? What's worse than a molester? There's nothing worse. Because even if they don't kill their victims, that victim is scarred for the rest of their lives. And yet these people will say, oh, the 60-day suspended sentence for a person that joins the Big Brother group, and then instead of being a big brother to somebody, they molest multiple children being a big brother, and then get a 60-day suspended sentence and get to walk free and breathe the same air that we're breathing. Wicked as hell. These people are getting slaps on the wrist, and that's why other people are getting molested. And you know what? These judges that are suspending their sentences are probably perverts too. How could you give somebody such a light sentence knowing that they destroyed some child? They destroyed some person that was looking for someone to come up and be kind to them and to love them and to nurture them, and then they turn against them and do the worst thing that they could possibly do to them. It's wicked. And you know what? They try to join churches. They try to join the Boy Scouts. They try to join the Big Brothers Club, right? So that they can get close to kids and molest them. The Boys Club, or the Boy Scouts, probably the Boys Club too, but the Boy Scouts of America has this huge settlement that was against them, and they knew that the Scoutmasters were perverts and still let them be Scoutmasters even after knowing. In Portland, Oregon, the worst offenders of all of them. And they're coming out from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all these perverts that molested these kids. And they're like, hey, let me teach you how to tie a knot. Hey, let me, why don't you try to work and get your Eagle badge or whatever. And they have, it's just like a thing to try to help young boys and young girls, or I think are the Girl Scouts. They try to help them to just be part of society and do good things and learn how to tie knots and light campfires and all that kind of stuff, right? But what do these perverts and predators do? They infiltrate groups like them, and then they molest and harm people. They're the worst kind of scum on the face of the planet is what they are. Genesis 19:4 says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, what does it say? Compassed the house round about. They circled around them, didn't they? And, they didn't know that these two men were angels of the Lord that could smoke them at any second that they wanted to. And as a matter of fact, when they left the city, the whole city did get smoked, didn't it? It got burned down with fire. So it says, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. What are they trying to just get to know them and be friends? No, because Lot, a couple of verses later, says, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Do not, and so what they're trying to do is they're trying to rape men. They're men trying to rape other men. And raping women is bad enough, but raping men is the ultimate crime in the Bible. What other city did God barbecue besides Sodom? It's an example for those that should live ungodly. It's an example for them that should live ungodly, right? So what does God think about it? Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. What does God think about it? Check it out. It's still a wasteland filled with sulfur today. God completely smoked it with hellfire. That's how he feels about it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's never changed his mind about this. Turn to Judges 19. These people are absolute vile predators. I know you guys already know this stuff, but Judges 19, similar style story here. It says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial. So what does that tell you about them? They're reprobates. He set the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. Same language, same people. You know, why do we still call them sodomites today? Because they still do the same thing that they did back in Genesis 19. They still do the same thing that they did back in Judges 19. They still do the same thing in Romans chapter number 1 in the New Testament. Paul, Paul wouldn't tell people that they need to die. Oh, what about the end of Romans chapter 1? It says they're worthy of death. I mean, New Testament, folks. New Testament. So it says, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. So the worst type of predators are these sodomites, these freaks that are outside your building right now. They're the worst types. Are the Jehovah's Witnesses out there today mad at you because you ripped on them a couple weeks ago or whatever? Are the Mormons out there today? No, they're not. Are the Roman Catholic Church, are they encircling around? I mean, and they're bad enough. Who's the worst? These people. These freaks. And you know what? If there wasn't a cop parked right there, they'd be doing a lot worse stuff than they're doing right now. But the only reason why they're, like, on better behavior is because the police presence. And, you know, so I'm sure you guys are thankful that there's a cop outside there. Because the worst, when nobody's stopping them, what do? The worst possible things that they can. I was told, a couple days ago that these people will put signs out in front of you as you're trying to turn out into the traffic. What are they trying to do? They're trying to kill you. They're trying to hurt your family. They're trying to murder you. I mean, and nothing has gotten done about that. I just can't believe it. All the stalking that gets done, driving past people's houses, yelling things at them. I mean, finally, one of those freaks got arrested last week, thank God. But they had to literally make a threat right in front of a cop in order for that to happen. It's just, if we drove past their houses, if we stalked their homes, we would get arrested for hate crimes. Why aren't they getting arrested for hate crimes? Why don't you answer me that? Because, you know, when the predators are in charge, that's what's going to happen. And basically, they've kind of just, and I know that people are starting to be like, man, these people really are bad. I mean, the drag your kid to pride thing that happened in Dallas, good night. And I always explain to people like this. So they're like literally allowing children to come into this bar that serves alcohol, where there's transvestites on stripper poles, and allowing children to walk up and put money in their waistbands. Little children, drag your kid to pride. Force your children to look at this filth. In L.A., I saw this video where this boy is trying so hard to turn away from it, and his mom is just like yanking him and making him look. He's like, no, no. And then why do they always have to dress up in the weirdest outfits and sport about their nakedness? Why are they dancing naked in your parking lot all the time and all this other weird stuff? Because they want to infest your mind. They're like bugs in a way. Bugs infest. And I noticed in this area of the country that there's a lot of different types of bugs. I hit a predator on my way out of the men's camp. Like, what kind? Not that kind of predator. I'm driving out of the Mighty Men's Camp. It's at night. And like as soon as I turn my brights on, this bird hit my windshield and bounced off. Did anybody see the dead owl on the side of the road? Owl, birds are predators. And it was probably flying to get some mouse or something. And I killed that predator. No. I didn't know. I was freaked out. I was like, ah! But it was like a little owl, like this big. It was just laying on the side of the road dead when I came back the next day. Anyway, timeout there. But listen, these people, what do they do? What do they do in both situations in Genesis 19 and Judges 19? What do? They compassed them in. They tried to come in so that there's no way for them to escape. It says that in verse 22, let's see, I want to make sure I'm getting this right here. And they beat at the door. They beset the house round about. That's what it says. It doesn't say that they compassed it in Judges 19, but it still means the same thing, doesn't it? They beset the house round about. They're probably blocking all the exits, making sure that nobody's going to escape. And what do they want to do? They want to molest and rape a man. And what do they end up doing? They end up raping and beating a woman to death. So, and then the Benjamites refuse to give up these predators. And so God's just like, you know, here's what I think that we should do. Let's just smoke them all. Should we go up against them? Yes. And basically, Benjamin almost ceased to be a tribe because, you know, this supposedly godly tribe is protecting perverts and predators. And, you know, that's what makes me think of, like, when Baptist churches and all these churches, like, oh, come in. This could be your safe space, too. You're just like, they're just like Benjamin. They're just like Benjamin. They're holding and allowing these perverts to come in. And you know what? A lot of the times, people don't even know that these perverts are amongst them. These people will come to the pastor and they'll be like, hey, you know, I got charged with molestation a while back. And, you know, I'm totally reformed. I've done my time. And then the pastor will, like, say, well, you can't be in the children's ministry, but you can still come to church. Trust me, it happens. In multiple churches that I've been in, Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist churches, they protect them. They allow them to be there. You know, how do you know that that person isn't doing something behind that pastor's back? Some, you know, just, we had this pervert that went to our church in Vancouver. We found out that he was like, he had like 200 and some odd images of porn, child pornography. And he got in trouble by the feds because he searched 8-year-old boys. He wore pink and lavender shirts. He was the song leader. Big surprise there, right? So the day we joined, we come back from visiting Faithful Word for the first time ever. We come back to our church, and we're like, you know, me and my wife made this decision. We're like, we're going to join this church so that we can, you know, because, you know, they want you to join the church or whatever. They want you to come up and, you know, go before the altar or whatever and say, I want to be a member of this church. Or, you know, they'll do it in a business meeting. They'll vote them in or whatever. So we're like on this spiritual high. We were at Mecca, I mean Faithful Word Baptist Church. No, I'm just kidding. We were at the stronghold of the new IFB, because I think that there was only two churches at that time, you know, in the new IFB. It was Word of Truth and Faithful Word. But we're just like, we're jacked up, you know. We're like excited. And then we come back. We get voted in as members at the business meeting. And then he goes, we have one last thing we need to talk about. Justin Gillen, who was their song leader or whatever, you know, I don't know if he just thought he needed to tell us this, or he had to tell every single member about them because of some law or something. I don't know why. But then he, you know, after we were already officially joined the church, he says, you know, this guy got in trouble. He didn't give details of what he did. He goes, I would let my kids eat dinner at his house. I would eat dinner at his house. I don't think that there's anything to worry about. But, you know, he's in the sound booth, and just like that sound booth right there, he's got two, like, plants next to it. Like, he kind of just, like, peeks over and leers at people. You know, he's training young men how to song lead. And I'm not joking. I don't think he ever wore, like, a manly colored shirt the whole time that he was there. So then I was really upset. And I wanted to go talk to the pastor. So I talked to the pastor. I was respectful to him. And he sincerely believed that they could be saved or whatever. And I was like, well, pastor, if he does anything else ever, and I'm not going to be friends with him, I'm not going to be nice to him, but I said, if he does anything else, I hope you kick him out for good. And it wasn't too long later after that. I can't remember exactly how long it was. I was just furious about it, though. And I knew it was just a matter of time before he did something to somebody else. So his wife catches him looking up incest videos with 10-year-old girls. He's got a 10-year-old daughter. He's got a child that's, you know, a young man child. I forgot how old he was, but the babysitter ended up shaking his baby boy to death. I felt sorry for the mom who's being told, stay with this guy. You know, that's a horror story. I actually was going to a church where it happened. The other church I went to before that, same thing. Thank God that you're in a church where if Pastor Shelley finds out there's some pervert coming here, guess what's going to happen to them? They're getting bounced out the door. Amen. Period. Yep. It's going to be the same way at our church. Look, you can't just allow predators to come in and go to church with you. And guess what? He kicked him out, though. Thank God. He actually did kick him out. He probably didn't want to, but he said to me, I will kick him out if he does anything else. And then his wife catches him. But then they're still telling her to stay with him. It's like, good night. Just run, lady. That's what I wanted to say. What time is it? Oh, I got plenty of time. I'm not even near the record. Okay, turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 12. The Bible says, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward to and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward for their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Those verses speak to me as a pastor. Look, we got plenty of enemies, and they're more than we can imagine. They're more than we know. They're more than the hairs of our head, and they're constantly coming at us with new things, new tricks, new ploys, new subtlety, new stalking. I mean, stalkers are pretty weird. Like, I was watching this documentary about stalking, and it was mainly about women being stalked by these weird guys. But sometimes women will be stalked for years and years. And they used to not have laws on the books to stop stalkers from doing the things that they do. Like, there was this lady in England, they just had no law against it. He was miking her apartment for, like, years and years and years. He finally, like, got thrown in prison for trying to kill some other woman. He didn't kill her, but it's just really, it's a very strange phenomenon that men, and women stalk too. Women are stalkers too sometimes. You know, it's usually these love things, but like cyber stalking's a crime too. Did you know that? But good luck trying to get them prosecuted on the stalking laws, the cyber stalking laws. But it's the same. You always feel like the next stalker is just right around the corner. And it sucks. They love doing it, though. They love playing the game. It's a game to them. It's just another thing that predators do. So what would I say to you today? I'd say, well, don't be a prey for the spiritual predators. Don't allow yourselves to be taken by serial adulterers or your children to be around family members. And I know that in a group like this, it shouldn't need to be said, but there's still people that believe that they can be saved or whatever, and they will still allow their children to be, well, not my sister, not my daughter, not my son. They're so nice all the time. They're the exception to the rule. None of them are an exception to the rule. They're all bad. I'm sure that they have degrees of evil, but these reprobates out here that are right outside your doors every single time you come to church, they are just as bad. There's no redeeming quality in them whatsoever. Keep your kids away from them. Keep your kids away from family members. I don't care if he's not talking to your kid or not. You know, predators, they look for the weakness, I'm telling you, and they'll try to find the weakness in your kid. Keep your kids away from them. And guard yourself against, you know, spiritual and physical predators. Guard your kids away from, don't let your kids stay the night at people's houses. Right. Like, I don't know how many times people have to say these things from the pulpit, and then people still let their kids have sleepovers at other people's houses. It's just bad, a bad idea. Unfortunately, the only people we can trust is us. The only people, you know, and I'm not saying everybody's guilty. Obviously, we're not supposed to suspect everyone, but we're also supposed to not trust people with the most precious commodity that we have. Just so you can get a break. I mean, you know, obviously your mom or dad could be someone that you'd allow your kids to be around or whatever, but you got to protect them. You got to keep them away from predators. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15, the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Look, don't listen to these people. Don't be around these people. You know, I'm sure people in your families are Pentecostals or whatever, some other kind of false prophet. And obviously, not everybody that's in one of these religions is necessarily a false prophet, but they're definitely a false convert. But if you have someone in your family that's a pastor of a Pentecostal church, I definitely would not let your kids around them. Because the Bible says that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They pretend to be the sheep, but they're actually wanting to eat you up. They are predators. Isn't that what it's saying, though? Like, is a wolf a predator or not? A wolf is a predator. So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, hey, they're going to come in and pretend to be a sheep, but they're a predator. They're a wolf. Stay away from them. Watch out for them. 2 Peter 2, chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it for you. The Bible says, "But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." See, these false prophets, they're like brute beasts. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. They are wicked, they are evil. Now, I found out some, you know, not super shocking news, but like some news. Remy was listening to some videos of Tyler Doka now claiming to be Jesus Christ. Have you seen that? I just said not to watch it. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of like, you know, it's like it's such a train wreck that you kind of just want to see it happen sometimes. But I listened to his own words. I heard what he said. He said, "I am Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in me, you won't have everlasting life." I mean, he goes from, you know, this is going to be the great, what is it, the best day of your life? Or today's going to be a big day for you guys. And then he preaches the flat earth or whatever. But see, this is how false prophets work. You know, he crept into our movement unawares. And obviously there's people that had him pegged from day one. I know, okay, whatever. But like, you know, sometimes people give people the benefit of the doubt too. But I know Pastor Shelley had him pegged. But anyway, he creeps in. He goes to the soul winning conference, right? Pretend, you know, he gets hooked, starts trying to do documentaries. He has this project he's doing with Pastor Anderson about all the different books of the Bible being in one place in the preaching or whatever. And then he preaches the flat earth. He gets massacred by almost every pastor in the movement. Pastor Anderson brings a globe up, and you're like, uh-oh, it's over. But this guy, this joker's saying now, he's still King James only, just so you know. He's still flat earth. So he has all these videos on his channel, and a lot of it's flat earth videos, the Operation Fishbowl, you know, where the hillbillies were trying to blow up the glass encasement above our heads or whatever. But now he's saying stuff like our spinal fluid is the crystal sea. Our brain is in four, you know, we have four parts of our brain, and they're like the four beasts of Revelation or whatever. So, I mean, people are writing comments, though, and are really being hooked by this guy. So he uses the engine of creeping into the new IFB, trying to be a normal pastor, goes to Flat Earth. That should tell you that when people go to Flat Earth, that they're not coming back. And, you know, that's all the videos, that's all they want to know about, is how the Earth is flat and how to, you know, disprove the globe ball or whatever. And then he still sticks with the King James only. So people will be drawn to his site because they see a video of King James only. You know, people, I say people loosely, well, will be attracted by the flat earth documentary stuff that he does. And then they're going to come across, I am Jesus Christ. I am your Lord and Savior. If you don't believe in me, you won't be saved. That's what he's actually saying, folks. It's just plain as day. Tyler Doka apparently is Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe in him, you're going to go to hell. Because he discovered that the book of John was different than the rest of the gospels. Those were all false gospels or whatever. And that the real gospel is the gospel of John. It's like, he's saying all kinds of weird stuff. But yeah, he is going to burn in hell. But you know what? He's just a perfect example of a predator that wants to, he creeped in, pretended to be like us, pretended to believe like us, and then ripped his mask off in front of everybody, hoping to drag some of the people that were still flat earth out of our churches and attach themselves to him so that eventually he could say, believe on me, I'm Jesus Christ. What a clown. What an absolute buffoon. And what a, you know, he's going to burn in hell, in the lowest hell. He's a false prophet. He's wicked as hell. And you know what? He's going to get everything that he deserves. But people are actually in the comment section saying, I believe in you, Jesus. Unbelievable. Look what. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. I only have a few more verses to go through and we'll be done here. I say a few, but it's like more than a few. A few sections. One of the comments that he said was, this guy said, you know, I don't believe, you know, I believed in this other stuff, like he was talking about believing in the flat earth. And then he said, but this other stuff I can't get on board with. And he's like, I'm sorry, we can't be brothers because you don't believe that I am he. Wow. So Matthew chapter 24 prophesied of these things. Jesus said, answered and said unto them, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. People are going to follow this clown right off the cliff into hell. That's why they're here. They're here to rip apart the brethren and try to stop people from getting saved. It says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Look, they hated Jesus, folks. They're going to hate you too. Just a fact of being a Christian. I know they didn't tell you that in the gospel presentation. That's probably why it's not part of the gospel. I don't know. It says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. That's Tyler Doka, false prophet, wolf in sheep's clothing. Now we all know that he's a wolf. The people that are saved are not going to be fooled by this garbage. But what's he looking for? He's looking for the people that are searching out these flat earth videos, and he's using it as a catapult to catapult them into hell with his false doctrine about him being the Lord and Savior. Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, he says. Ridiculous. Watch out for money predators. Money predators are, you know, the Pharisees obviously were money predators, but false prophets are money predators. Publicans, Judas was a money predator. You know, the most evil thing that he did was betray the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was really, the Bible just, you know, he was stealing money. That was his big thing. So beware of people that are trying to bring these weird things to you at church. You know, we preach about that and saying, don't make God's house a house of merchandise, but then yet people will still get involved in business dealings of things that are just like, you know what, you're going to have a 300% guaranteed increase out of this. You're going to get all your money back plus 300%. It's like, that's just a scam. Don't fall for scams. People will join churches to try to make money off of them. Don't fall for these money predators. Turn to Psalm chapter 91, verse 13. Psalm chapter 91, verse 13. See, one day, all the predators are going to be gone. All the predators are going to be gone. And that'll be a great day. They'll quit stalking, tormenting, killing prey. They'll stop being able to be lording over us and all manner of things. They'll stop being able to be principalities and powers and the rulers of wickedness and the rulers of darkness of this world. Psalm 91, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Obviously, this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's going to smash the lion. He's going to smash the snake. He's going to smash the dragon. All these things that Satan represents, all the things and systems underneath Satan and all of his power, Christ is, I mean, he's already basically destroyed him. It's just kind of waiting for the reckoning right now. But they're all going to be gone. Why? Because Jesus is going to get rid of them, right? And I kind of already told you that, talked to you about that, but let's look at a couple more scriptures and then we'll be done, I promise, all right? Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. This is a great picture for us as Christians because right now we live in a world where we can't imagine that there isn't predators around us. Not just animal predators, but people predators. But there's going to be a great blessing when all these things are changed. Look at Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. It says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together." That don't happen right now. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. They're not going to eat meat anymore. They're going to eat straw. "And dust shall be the serpent's meat." I guess he's going to eat dirt. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." There's going to come a day when the predators and the prey, there won't be any more predators. They'll be all, you know, all just in one accord. You know, the lion and the lamb and the bear and all that. They're all going to be together. You know, a child is going to be playing on a snake hole of the asp or whatever. It's going to be playing with the cockatrice. You know, it's going to be playing with the rattlesnakes. It's going to be like a Pentecostal service or whatever. Your little kids are going to be walking around, "Mommy, look what I found," you know. And it's like these rattlesnakes or whatever. But they won't bite. They won't hurt people. They won't do any harm to people. Isn't that what the Bible says? They won't destroy. They shall not hurt. Now turn to Revelation chapter 29. 20 verse 9, excuse me, not 29. You're like, are you sure you're not the false prophet? It was a trick. This is the last verse. And this is where God destroys the last predator. And then we get to go on into, you know, eternity future, not having to worry about this stuff, not having to like, no more animals doing this, scared out of their minds. We're not going to be getting PTSD from all this stuff. It's going to be over. Because the devil's going to be released after he's captured for 1,000 years in hell. The Lord's going to release him so that he can gather the rest of the trash to come against the city, to come against the saints one last time. Look what it says in verse 9. "And they went up on their breadth, on the breadth of the earth," and what does it say? "And compassed the camp of the saints about." One last hurrah. Let's circle them one more time. "And the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven," and what does it say? "And devoured them." See, predators want to devour you, but you know, God is the ultimate power in this world, and he's going to take out that last apex predator, the main enemy that we fight against, the one that's sending all these freaks against us, the one that's sending all this stuff against us all the time, the one that's trying to stop us any possible way that he can, and God's going to devour them with fire. He's going to destroy, they're going to get, so I mean, devour means to be eaten up, right? So the fire's just going to be like, psh, I mean, they're going to be done. "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Amen. 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 So there is going to be, you know, we don't have to necessarily fight back. You know, as a matter of fact, we're supposed to be like sheep. I mean, when's the last time you saw a sheep just go crazy on a lion? You've never seen it. When's the last time you saw a sheep, you know, just start hoofing against like a, you know, some kind of wolf or something. It just doesn't happen. So we have to play by the rules, and sometimes it's really hard for us to deal with. Sometimes it's hard for us to just like not go out and just, you know, do what the old man wants to do, right? And you might even in here know what I'm talking about, right? You want to take care of business the way you used to be able to take care of business. We can't do that anymore. We can't do that as Christians. Look, remember, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. So remember that when the vengeance is gotten by the Lord, it's going to be a great vengeance. And we're going to bathe our feet in the blood of the wicked. I know that sounds gross, but we can't get AIDS. We'll have new bodies that can't die. So anyway, so how do predators operate? Just to recap, they compass about, they stalk their prey, they lie in wait, they seek to devour, they hurt and kill, they pretend to be something they're not, they camouflage themselves and try to come in amongst us, they try to trap and snare and overpower and dominate. So we should be vigilant, we should be sober, we should be watching things. And I'm not saying suspecting everybody, I'm just saying that, you know, when someone gives you a giant red flag, make sure that you keep that in the back of their mind. If it's so super bad, you should probably tell your pastor about it. If someone is telling, is bringing you into the corner and saying, guess what, I'm the son of God, you need to go talk to Pastor Shelley. Immediately, okay? All right, so that's all I got for this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the fact that you're going to take care of business for us and that, Lord, we don't really have to worry about it. But while we're here on this earth, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be vigilant and sober. And I pray that you'd help us to be steadfast and unmovable, Lord. Pray you'd just help us to get along in this world where predators are trying to attack us at every front, and help us to walk through this world wisely. And we ask for your protection, Lord, for this church, and that you would bring them under the shadow of your wing, Lord, and help them through the trying times that they're going through. Pray that you bless Pastor Shelley and his family. I pray you bless each and every single family represented here, and that no predator would have his hands on one single person in this church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.